Shaul, as he speaks unto the Roman Israelites, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the splendor of the free wrath of Yah, being justified freely by his free unmerited love through the redemption that is in HaMashiach, Yeshua, whom Yahweh has set forth. Now this is what Yahweh has done with Yeshua. That is what the gold offering and the sin offering was. To be a kafar, a propitiation through the emunah, the faith of his blood. That we have confidence in the man had to have confidence in that blood cleansing, purging offering. And that is what we have in the covenants of the offering of HaMashiach, to declare his Sadiqah for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearing of Almighty Yahweh. So it is the blood of HaMashiach, the propitiation, as the blood of the goats and bullocks were the propitiation, the remission, or the covering of the sins of the people. And that is what Yeshua has done. Without him, brothers and sisters, our sins remain. And we must go through this process. It is something about those that call themselves the Hebrew Israelite, especially the ones that are the darker skinned. They will debate the issue of polygamy, having more than one wife. And scripture doesn't teach that. There are things that Yahweh suffered Israel to even do, but it doesn't teach that nowhere. And yet they will debate that. Can I have more than one wife? Can I have more than one? How many wives could I have? And there are those that call themselves Israelites. They got 4, 5, 6, 7 wives. They got wives. And they believe in living that way. But when it comes to this now, what the Torah teaches about their sins, now that they are oblivious to that. And yet they deny HaMashiach. They say, well, he is not relevant. But what about your sin offerings? Are you in sin? Do you obey the Torah, the Mitzvah, to the letter? They're not doing that. They're not doing it at all. You can't see how warped and how twisted their doctrine is. And believe me, there are splinter groups all over America, especially in the South, in Atlanta. It has become the haven. It is the haven of homosexuality, and it is the haven of spiritual homosexuality. And that's where they all are going, to Atlanta now. They're going down to Atlanta. It has become the Mecca. And it is the Mecca of religious practices, Atlanta. Every kind of twisted, insane spirit there is, it dwells in that city. It is the cauldron of hell. It is the spirit of Sodom and Egypt down there. So every kind of religious whoredom is perpetrated right there in the city we call Atlanta. And they come from all over and relocate there. It is the Mecca of faggotism. Sure it is. Why would someone, Yah said to Lot, come out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Get out of that place. It's become the inhabitants of every kind of vile, unclean thing. Why would Yah send a man from here down to Atlanta? He would not do that. It's the Mecca of hell and darkness. And the people think it's the Mecca of mobility when the folks in bondage. They're bound in their debt and their trivial little cartoonish things that they possess. The Mecca of Yah and HaMashiach. We are of the city of New Jerusalem. That's where his house is going to dwell. And the city whose builder and maker is Yah, whose hands, the hands of man has not defiled it. Yahweh has constructed it. And in that city dwell the fullness of his Sadiqah, the power of his righteousness in that city. And New Jerusalem, where Israel shall dwell. And from there shall the kingdom of, or the power of his kingdom, rule the earth. And that is so, whether you buy it or not. I buy the truth and I don't sell it. And shall I not buy the truth? So HaMashiach, he is in the blood, he declared the Sadiqah. For the remission of the sins that are past, through the forbearing, Yahweh has forbeared us. He has suffered us. He has suffered us long. And we count the long suffering now of Yahweh's salvation. He suffered with us. He endured with us our sins, our rebelliousness, our corruption, our wickedness. He endures with us our folly, our childlikeness. This is not a very mature generation. When I was a young boy, yeah, I used the analogy of my life. 14, 15, 16 years old, we had enough We were cognizant enough with enough conscience as to what reality was. This is a stupid generation. Not seen in this nation after 1942. It is a twisted generation. You can't find anything in it that's worth anything. It's fools that they think that the reality of life is some kind of little metaphoric superstition that they have made up. That's the reality of what it is. It's not that. The reality of life is two things. Can I tell you what they are? Can I tell you? It's life and death. That's it. That's the reality of this life. And everything else in life is simply woes and affliction and trial. That's it. You live long enough, you will realize there's nothing in this life but woes and trials and affliction. That's it in life. The only certain things is if you're born, you're going to die. You're not promised no home on the hill. You having food and raiment, you'll be content. Just say, toda ya, yada ya. Just having food and raiment. What about my son? Don't worry about your son. What about, don't worry about her. You having food and raiment, you barak him, you bless Yah. We got to be concerned for the children. We got to be concerned what Yah says. When you do what Yahweh says, you will bring them up right. You will bring them up in the fear and the nurture of Yah. When my son fell off, well, there were two that were born and one fell off. They were twins. There were one that had the same thing that the other one had. It was known as the prodigal son. But he turned his heart away from the things of Yah. He was born with the same discipline. He went out and wasted everything he had. When his daddy gave him another inheritance, he got nothing. It all belonged to the other son. He took all he had and wasted it. He was just at the mercy of that daddy and that son to bring him in, put clothes on his back, and feed him. Now I know this generation of hypocrisy doesn't discuss it that way, but that's it. He had nothing when he came back. He was empty. He did not get half of the son's heritage because all that belonged to him. That's why Yah doesn't want us backsliding and turning away, because you never get back where you should have been. I don't care what you say. You never get back to that place. You never, when you backslide and turn away from Yahweh, you never, I don't care how you press, how you try, you never. Israel never made it into the promised land because of their backsliding, their sin, and their wastefulness sin. You can't be sliding back like a backslidden heifer. You got to walk right. That's why he has not chanced this finished work in the hands of man. He has not. He has given us the power of his living truth. When the Kohen, when the man of Yah speaks it should bring alive that which is always written in us. Because we have this veneer, as Evangelist Horn would always say, this hardness of our own hearts, we can't see that, we can't hear it. There's a veneer there. There's a hardness, there's a nature there. And it's not of Almighty Yahweh, it's wrong. And you're going to die in your sins. I don't care whether you believe it. I don't care whether you accept it. You're going to die that way. Period. Well, Pastor Robert, that's awful cold. Yahweh, he is an austere man. He reaps where he sows not. He gathers where he has not even harvested the field. Why? Because it all belongs to him. It all belongs to him. That's why we need to train our minds by what? The truth of Yah. We need to have the mind of HaMashiach. He is the living truth of Yah. That's why his mind emanated the word. He did not speak anything of his own accord. He spoke what he had heard. He spoke what he was. He was made alive. He came forth by the power of the Ruah, by the birth of the Spirit of Yah. And every child comes forth that way. There's a spirit of life that enters to the woman, the seed, and it produces a child. And that life is a living breath of Almighty Yahweh. He made man, but he was not alive until he breathed into him. And that's why this generation is not alive today. It's dead. Why? Because it is in the trespasses of sin. They say they believe the Torah, and they do not even perform what the Torah says. They say they obey the Torah, they don't even perform what the Torah says. They say they love Yah, reject HaMashiach. They don't even do what the Torah said. Where your sin offering, their blood offering. Well, what about a poor man? He can't afford to do that. Well, Yah makes the provision for him. Listen to this in Yokohana. Just write it down. First Yokohana. 1 John 2 and 1. He writes unto Geshia, he says, my little children, the little children. He was talking to Israel. He said, these things are right to you that you sin not. And if any man sin, he have an advocate. He has an advocate with the Abba, Yahshua HaMashiach, Hasadika, the righteous of Yah. That's who he is. Why? He is the kafar. He is the propitiation. That's what it says. He is the propitiation, the price paid, the covering for our sins, and not ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. He paid the price for the whole world. That doesn't mean that the whole world is saved. He just paid the price. He paid the price for every man. Yah, them Gentile, Greek alike. He paid the price for all men. He says in verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love Yahweh, but that he loved us. And he sent his son to be the, listen, to be the kafar, the propitiation for our sins. He said, your love, that what we express as love to Yahweh, that's not love, what we think is love. He said, if you want to understand what love is, this is love, the kafar, the propitiation, the blood of HaMashiach, that he has sent to pay the price to cover your sins. Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the blood, there is no covering, there is no purging, there is no set apartness of sin without the blood. It must be blood. And these superficial men today that reject the renewed covenant, that will say, well, we're going to discuss Torah, and they don't even discuss Torah. They have sinned. The Day of Atonement is a time whereby they came to all their sins were atoned unto Yahweh. They brought offerings and sacrifices, and the priests and the Kohen, they were in the tent, and they offered up day and night for the sins of the people and for the sins of the leaders. Where are those there, what we call Israel, offered up the sins? Where are their red heifers and their goats and their bullocks? Where are the sin offerings? And yet they wear their pilasteries and they deny the power of the living blood of Yah. They are in their false illusions. And that's the truth. It's either your sins are remitted or you're still in sins. And if you do not follow this book, then you're still in sin. Well, I believe in the Torah. You better obey what the Torah teaches then. I believe in the book, the living book. Hallelujah. And in that book is the Sadiqa of Yah. Because his Sadiq, his righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And his Torah is the truth. And that's what HaMashiach came to give us, the power. Those that were Israel, they had the Torah, but there was no life in them because their flesh was weak. They had no power or constraint over their flesh. What he's given us, restraint and constraint. We can constrain our flesh, our actions, our deeds. You can do that. You can. You can't do what's right. We have the power to do that now. That's why you are inexcusable, old man. You that judge and you do the same. You say keep the Torah. You're not keeping the Torah and you're breaking the Torah and you're defying it. I have a living Torah in me. It creates and it brings the Sadiq or the righteousness of Yah. These men have a letter of Torah. They have the word of the Torah. But it doesn't create no righteousness. They have no Sadiqa in them, no righteousness of Yah in them. We think that Yahweh is going to be very passive with us, don't we? But he's not that way, brothers and sisters. He's going to tear this place to hell. I'm telling you. He's going to tear it down. Whether you buy it or not. Whether you believe it or not. He is. Well, I don't believe that. We see the violent storms, they tear it apart, don't they? See what happened down there in New Orleans, do we not? See what's happening all over the nation. This country is a vile, evil nation. Everywhere you look in the world, you can see the hands and the imprint of America. Wars and rumors of war. It's a nation of wars and greed and lust. That's what this nation is. And everybody in this nation is full of greed and lust. Men deny their homes for greed and lust. Women sell themselves for a trinket of lusts and things. They deny Yah for some form of frivolous, carnal aspiration. They produce nothing at all, just a feel for a moment. That's all it produces. It doesn't produce anything at all. That's why this nation is the most emptiest nation. I read a survey some time ago, the people that are the most happiest are the poorest countries. Even though they're in situations whereby their lives are their lives are limited, tremendous chaos, the most unhappiest people in Britain, America, countries like this, what we call the most industrialized developed nations. But the ones that are happy, the ones that are in poor countries. They're the most happiest young people, the young children. Because this nation has raised up a power of hell, a deceived people. It has created a mind of Shaitan. It has brought about illusions and telling them visions and what things to seek after. That's why the homes today, they're filled with these tell visions that cause the visions to be created in the minds of the children that are full of illusion and lies. And these fools feed them that. They're not even conscious of what they're feeding them. Yet they say they love Yah, they allow these things to train the minds of their sons and their daughters and their children. And yet we have countries in other parts of the world like Britain and France that even warn parents, don't even let your children even look at one of them things. Don't even allow it. It's the power of Shaitan to control, and that's what he's doing. That's why their sons and their daughters are twisted, their minds are twisted, their hearts are far removed from anything of truth. Without the shedding of blood, there is no kafah. There is no propitiation, no price paid for your sins. Listen to this in Wayera. Yera. In Leviticus 5 and 1. Turn that quickly. This is the various trespasses that you must bring before Yah if you sin, alright? Now this has not changed. What has completed this for the true seed of Israel is Yahshua. That is what he has done. Hallelujah. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, and if a soul sin, if it be in sin, and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not declare or reveal his sin, then he shall bear his iniquity. If you don't confess your sins, Scripture tells us to confess our sins one unto another. We do that. And then because we confess that sin, we know we are certain of the blood of the forgiveness of Almighty Yah. Or if a person or if a being touch an unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of an unclean cattle. Now, cattle is not unclean unless it dies of itself and it began to rot. You shouldn't eat that. If a cattle or anything dies of itself or any clean beast, you don't eat that. And that's what that is saying. Not that cows are unclean. Not that meat is wrong to eat, because it is not wrong to eat. That is what is going to be made more healthy because they eat veggies. If one wants to do that, I have no compunction with that. Shaul said, if one comes to you eating herbs and things like that, he is weak. Don't compel the man or the sister to eat a big fish like you or eat some beef. That's all right by me. But it is not a doctrine of Scripture. It is not a doctrine of Scripture. Or the carcass of an unclean creeping thing, or if it be hid from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Verse 3. Or if he touches the uncleanness of a man, whatsoever uncleanness is, be that of the man, shall be defiled withal, and it will be hid from him. When he knows of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if the being swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil. You never do that now. Or to do tov, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he shall know of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. We confess our sin. It is just, it's faithful to forgive us of all of our sins. Confessing our sins, one unto another, that we become more effectual and fervent in our prayers. It avails much. Verse 6, and he shall bring his guilt offering to Yahweh for his sin, which he has sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of goat, for a sin offering, and the Kohen shall make an atonement, a kafar, for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb. Now see, this is the mercy and the kindness of Yah. It's just not beginning the renewed covenant. And if he is not able to bring a lamb, he shall bring for his guilt, which he has committed, two turtle doves. Or two pigeons. To Yahweh. One for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. And if he doesn't have that, then he says in verse 8, and if he shall bring them to the Kohen, he shall offer that which is for sin offering first, and wring off the head for the neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle the dam, the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the dam shall be wrung out in the bottom of the altar and the sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the matter, and the Kohen shall make an atonement, a kafar, for him, for his sins which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven. But he is not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that has sinned shall bring his offering, the tenth of an ephah of fine flour for sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense therein, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the Kohen, and the Kohen shall take it, take his handful of it, even a memorial. He did it in faith, because he did all things in faith. A memorial thereof, and he burned it upon the altar according to the offering made by the fire of Yahweh. It is a sin offering. And the Kohen, see, the priest, shall make atonement. HaMashiach is our high priest, the Most High, after the order of Melchizedek. That's why he is the mediator. So this priest had the power to make the atonement for him as touching his sin, that he sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be of the Kohen as a meat offering. So if he had nothing, if he didn't have nothing but a little ephod, a little handful of flour, he brought that without any mixtures. And Yah said, because you did it in faith, you believe that it takes the blood offering, I receive that. And because you brought it in the proper fashion, and the Kohen were responsible for to do it right, you did it right, then your sins are remiss. I've forgiven you of your sins. This is a generation that sins are not remiss. That's why they sin willfully. That's why it is a rebellious, wicked generation. When a man is not conscious or cognizant of his sin, when he ignores his sins, his transgression, his willing, blatant defiance of Almighty Yahweh, he's not even cognizant or conscious to say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me, Yah. Then he has trampled on the foot the very precious blood of HaMashiach. He has denounced that. That's what he has done. And that's what this wicked generation is doing. Yah says, Yahweh says, you're going to pay. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is real. I don't care what the intellectual community that they think that they're intellectual says. This is real. That's why the earth is filled with religion. Countries like India, they have 5 million gods. Who do you call to? For rain, for flour, for headaches, for soreness. They got gods for everything you pray. Everything. Yahweh, he is the Almighty and he is one. He's just one. Not five, three, two, one. Just one. Ikad. He is one. It is the power of his ahava, his bosom, the word. That's what he is. He stands by everything that was made flesh. That we beheld the power and the significance of the honor of Yahweh. He caused it to become flesh like us. That we will have no excuse to say, well, I did it because of this, like Adam. He said, well, the woman you gave me. Yah says, I tell you what, I'm going to give you something that's greater than a woman. I'm going to give you something that caused you to come alive and caused you to be quickened. I'm going to put something in you that caused your life to rejoice and to be quickened and made alive when you hear what he says. That's why we're without any kind of excuse. So this generation that rejects the renewed covenant, then how is it that their sins, do their sins remain? Their sins remain because Yahweh has an order. We must obey what Yahweh commands us. And if any man says he loves Yahweh and keep not his commandment, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. So if they say they love Yahweh, they are the seed of Yisrael, they reject HaMashiach, you do not do things according to Torah, then you are a liar. If any man says he loves Yahweh and do not his mitzvah, keep not his commandment, he's a liar. And the truth of Yah is not in him. So how can you trust them? How are they walking in the truth? When Scripture tells you when you sin, whether you're knowledgeable of it or unknowledgeable, there's a way that you rectify that before Moriah. Where's the tent? Where's the first tent? Where's the tabernacle, the mercy seat? Where do you bring your offerings? And if you have atonement, it's one day of just folly with many of them. It's not a time of sincerity. It's not a time of commitment unto Yah. It's a time of trivial folly and laughter and foolishness. It's not a time of soberness. The Moeds of Yah were times of soberness. They were memorials unto Him. They drew us unto Him. Man had to be careful in his application. Everything he did, he had to be very careful. These hypocrites today, they're doing every kind of foolish thing there is to do. Women dressing like Jezebels and flaunting their whoredom. Men effeminate, lusting and trying to draw close to a woman. That's all it's about. It's a promotion of flesh. The Moses of Yahweh was a denunciation of flesh. To destroy, to bring it low, to bring it down. That every sin of the flesh was identified. And so what are the Feasts of Thomas? What are the young importers today? It's just a time of frivolous frivolity. Religious practice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And they're still in their sin. All their forefathers have died in their sins. If HaMashiach is not the fulfillment, the kafah, the propitiation of Yah, your sins remain. Period. You got these foolish doctrines today. Believe me, they're out there. I hear them. They call me so I know what's out there. I know it better than you, brothers and sisters. Believe me. I know what's out there. And it must be denounced. It must be. I'm a son of Yisrael. I'm a true Hebrew. Hallelujah. Not a phony one. I'm a true Hebrew Israelite. Hallelujah. Born of the seed of Yah. Have the seed of Yah. The word of Yah. In me. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this last one here. I have much more, but I want to close here. There's much to this. In the 16th chapter, in verse 15. Now, this is the sin offering for the people, okay? Scripture says, then shall, Wayera, 16:15. Then shall you kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring the dam, the blood, within the veil, and do with that dam as he did. The dam of the bullock and the sprinkling of it upon the mercy seat. And before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the kodesh place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. See, the whole children as a whole, they were unclean. So the Kohen must make this atonement. So these men that say that those that are all the Caucasians are the true Hebrew Israelites, where are the sin offerings for all the people of Yah? Those that say the people of color, the African Americans, the dark skinned people are the ones. By the way, those that are of the Mexican or Mexico, their doctrine says, no, you got it all wrong. We are the people of the diasporas. Not the ones that are of color, but we are the ones. The ones of color say that only the ones that are in the Americas, and that is in the in what we call this Western Hemisphere, in Haiti and places like that, that we are the people of the diasporas, or the moving away. And what happened, the 70 seed of Yosef that went into Mizraim, and they came out by the millions now, didn't they? And sure, they had to have a little intermarriage with the Egyptians and others too. You understand? Sure they did. So these were the ones that were captivated or enslaved, and they were the ones that were cast out of Jerusalem, 70 before the common era, and they were the ones taken captive. What a damnable, ignorant, stupid ass doctrine. I say it that way. And so undoubtedly, they were dispersed throughout the Horn and all around the coastal region of what we call Africa. Would they have become a byword and a proverb? Every nation is a byword and a proverb. Every nation, there's no nation. Every nation, you know, one day I did a research. And I did a research on all the nations of what we call Africa. Now, the meanings of those words, they don't even know. They don't even know where the words came from. Ghana, Liberia, Congo, Benin, any of them. Brother, I know what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. And they're all a byword, and they're just words that are made up. That's what they are. That's all they are. South Africa, Zimbabwe, they're just bywords. Just words that what, like, Shimoka, Shaneka, Shatana, Shatuka, Satika. That's all it is. That's how they were done. You know, the enemy has pacified us so that we love such foolishness. That we don't take time for things that are sound. You love such fictitious folly. The things that will enable you, you don't want that. It's almost like one never eating broccoli. You feed them broccoli. I don't like broccoli. How do you know? Yahweh did not give us this mind for us to exercise it in folly. The ways of Yahweh is so high above the earth. His thoughts are so far from ours. He wants us to get that kind of mindset, to have them kind of thoughts. But our minds are relegated to such triviality. The world control. This is a heathen Gentile nation here. And the people are Gentile because the world, the ways are heathenistic. The heathens, they have abandoned the true life in Yahweh, which comes forth the power in Yahshua. They've abandoned that. It's not even a part of this nation. That's why we're sinful, twice dead. We have no ahava, the love of Yahweh. We plucked up from the root. The root of love is not in us. For what to love Him? With all our heart, our soul, mind, and all of our strength, it's not there. It's just not there. We want someone to speak us delicate things and tell us little nice, sweet oracles. But I won't do that. I'm not going to do it. You will never mature by someone giving you candy all the time. Your teeth will rot out. Makes your teeth bad. You can't chew. And candy's not the best thing for you. Broccoli's better. Hallelujah. It's better for you. But that's what we want. We want those sweet things. Prophesy on the smooth things, sweet things. Tell me nice things. When I was growing up in Christianity, I would go to meetings and these mamas get up there. I want my son to be saved. Yea, saith the Lord, thy God. That your son, what is his name? Richard. Your son, Richard. You shall see a new life in him. He shall begin to change and you will see the transformation. Thus saith the Lord God. And of course, he would draw from their bosom too. Or they would give on that night. Oh, I know he's going to be saved, honey. Because Pastor So says, oh, honey, I don't know. He's a child of hell. He's going to be saved. No, he isn't. He's going to save his house, Israel. I watch them prophesy things unto them, everything. I've watched it. I watched it with lines. Everyone wants to lose weight. Everybody gets it. I mean, you will see the whole place. Just everybody in line. That's how they would do it. I've seen that. Yea, saith the Lord God. Within the span of 2 weeks, you're going to begin to see a dramatic change about your body. You're going to begin to see yourself. This shall have a Savior. And you will see the Bible. Watch them all fall. This is crazy. It's not of Yahweh. It's crazy. They love things like that. We love fabricated follies and foolishness. We love for people to speak things to us that are just false. We don't like for no one to be straightforward and direct with us. That's why we don't love Yahweh, because He's just straight with us. He tells us what we are. A bag of bush. Just by His kindness and His mercy. He looked down and said, I see, they ain't worth nothing. They ain't worth a pot to urinate in. They ain't worth that. They ain't even worth cow's bush. It's because of His kindness and His tenderness. That's all. That no other reason. Nothing you've done. Nothing special about you. Nothing special about your race. Nothing. Nothing you've done. He just said, that one. That piece of trash. I know. That's mine. That Jezebel right there. That's all right. I know she's a Jezebel. But I'm gonna put some joy bells in her. That one there. That's how he does it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has nothing to do with your mama's prayer. I don't care what mama say. All her prayer didn't do nothing. It didn't do one thing to get you saved. Your mama's prayer did not revert anything. It did not change Yahweh's mind or nothing. He knew his before the foundation of the world. He ordained, he predestinated those that were the children of Yah, of the Most High. He knew them. He said in the transgressions, he said in verse 16, you shall make an atonement in the Kodesh place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel, because of their transgression and all of their sins. And so shall be, so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remain among them that in the midst of their uncleanness. Verse 17, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle. He must be there alone. No man shall be in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goes in and make the kafah, the atonement in the Kodesh place, until he comes out and have made an atonement for himself and for the household and for all the congregation of Israel. Now that is the purpose of Yom Kippur, for the atonement of all Israel, a sin offering for the cleansing of their sin. They come together, the sin offering was made, and they were cleansed. We come to our Yom Kippur, and the offering has already been made. Yahshua is the covering. We walk under the blood covering. He said, covered. Covered by the blood, the propitiation. And it shall go out to the altar that is before Yahweh, and make the kafah, the atonement for it, and shall take of the dam of the bullocks and the dam of the goats, and put it upon the horn of the altar, and run about. And it shall sprinkle the dam, the blood upon it with his fingers 7 times, and cleanse it, and set it apart for the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. I'm going to close right there today, and I want to finish this on Wednesday, all right? I'm going to close right there. But this is how, if unless we as a people of Yah, unless there is a blood cleansing offering, all of our sins remain and there is no remission of our sins. And so we have this generation that has rejected the covenant of Yah. Yahweh's covenant has not changed with Israel. He has brought alive this living way that was bound, whereby the power, the light of it would not shine through because of the sin of Israel. Because of flesh, they cannot understand it. Nor can they see the light or the power of this covenant of Yahweh. He has not changed, so his covenant not has changed. Yahweh has not changed. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. What he has given us today is the living power of his covenant. Man always tried to explain Yahweh, and you can't do it. We have to have faith in what he says and believe him. Just have confidence. And so, can I show an example? I was listening to Mr. Schultz the other day. You all know who Mr. Schultz is. I'll tell you who he is. He's the man that started, what are these coffee houses? Starbucks. So when Mr. Schultz, when he started Starbucks, his wife was pregnant. She was 8 months, 6 months pregnant. Dad-in-law came to him one day. I'm using this for an analogy. His daddy came to him one day. He said, he was a beautiful man. I was listening to him one day. He says, my father-in-law was a very precious man. He said, son, I need to talk to you. He said, my daughter's pregnant, your wife. 3 months, she's going to have a baby. And you don't even have a job. He said, now, I know you have ideas, and I know you can get things done. He said, but I want you to get a job to take care of my daughter and her baby. The wife was working. He wasn't working. He was drawing up plans. He had this grandiosis idea of Starbucks. That's what he had. And he said he began to cry to his father-in-law. He just began to cry. He just began to weep. Most people will become very arrogant. This is a haughty Jezebel generation. He said he began to cry to his father-in-law. He said he just began to weep. The man just began to weep. He said to him, Dad, you're right. I know I need to get a job, but just trust me on this one. Just let me do it. We'll be all right. I know we're going to struggle. He said, but just trust me on this one. Just trust me. The man is a multi-billionaire now. He said, just trust me. Just please. So that is what Yahweh is saying to us. Just trust me on this one.
But I don't see this. Trust me. He didn't see anything. Though dad-in-law now, I guarantee you, when he sees him now, he hugs his neck and kisses him because he's probably has a position in Starbucks now. But he said, just trust me. As he began to weep, say, trust me to do that. And you will see. You will see. It will work. It will work. And that's what Yahweh said to us. That my word, it works. You don't have to cipher from it. You don't have to dissect it. Just believe it. The just shall live by emunah, the faith of Yah. We have met today dissecting it, trying to show us the ramifications of it, trying to show what it means. No, he said, just believe him. And we just believe with all of our left. Just trust him. That's all he wants. He has given us a common man's salvation, a Yahshua. It is a simple man. It is a simple birth. He lived a simple life. It is a simple walk. It is not complex. It is not difficult. We have made it difficult. We have made it hard because of our transgression. The ways of a transgressor are hard. We sin against Yah is hard for us. That's why it's hard for us to receive what He say, to receive any kind of correction, to acknowledge Him, to obey Him. That's why the world is in the hell's mess is in now. It's in a mess. This world is in a mess, whether you believe it, whether you receive it. This world is in a mess today. All over the world is in a mess today. What Shaitan has done, most of the people keep them in such folly, foolishness that they can't see it. I said to the man the other day on Sunday, we went to get some fruit for Sister Horn. I said to Brother Patrick, you were with me, right? I said, come here, listen. Tell him what you just said. I want him to hear that. Because he wanted me to stand with him. He sold those tennis shoes. He said, preacher, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, these tennis shoes and this kind of stuff to this generation, these folks, it's like what a junkie is with drugs. He said, they can't, he said, it's just like drugs. He said, stand right here with an hour. I said, you're not going to sell it. He said, stand here, preacher. He said, just stand 1 hour with me. You'll see. You'll see. He said, they got to have it. He said, that drug is just like a junkie's desire. Did he say that, son? Who else was with us? Just you and me? Did he say that, brother? He said, just like a junkie wanting drugs. Did he say that? And that's what this generation has done, has fed us this synthetic type of drug. And you just got to have it. Now, we don't have to have Yah and His truth. Got to have this. Got to have that. Got to have it. There are folks, oh, I just got to have that. Oh, I just got to have it. He says, just like a junkie on drugs, that's what it is to them. He said, they're going to buy every pair. I say, I know that you. No one's going to buy. He said, preacher, stand here with me. Just stay here an hour, and every pair I got will be gone. Every pair. How much of those? Oh, for you, I'll let you have them for $100. Oh, I'll be back. You got a size 10. You know, people look like, you know, they're pitiful looking. And of course, I stand in amazement that this is the fickle mentality of this generation. That's how fickle it is. When it comes to things that are lively, they don't want that. They get upset when someone tells them things that are truthful, that will enhance them. They don't want that. Now just think for a moment, you. If you ask someone something about you, if it's not favorable, it makes you upset, doesn't it? That's the way we are. Tell me, no, I don't look like that. I look better than that. You can say what you want to. No, That's the way we are. You want me to be honest? Sure, that's what Yah is going to be with us, honest. He's not going to pacify us, brothers and sisters. You can do all the pacifying you want to. I'm not going to pacify us. You go in the military. I had a man call me yesterday. He said, Pastor Roberts, I've been listening to you from Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Kansas. He said, I heard you the other day when you said that Brother Roach and said you're a little too tough on things. He said, don't stop that. Keep pouring it out the way you do. You're preaching it right. Don't stop it. I like it like that. This is a generation. I want to say this in my closing. Parents do everything. They're out there like fools for this Christmas thing. I watched them. I said, these fools, these heathens don't even know what they're doing. And they will buy everything, every trinket that these ignorant children want that will still not make them love them one bit. Their parents allow their children to do everything they want to do, and they still don't love the parents. They give them everything they can. They still don't love them. They let the sons act like jackasses, like heathen, niggerish children. They're just fools. Pants hanging off their nasty buttocks. Fools. And they think that's a good parent. That's an ignorant man. That's a stupid woman. I see the welfare mamas doing that. Come here, Shabal. Come here, boy. Get him a bed. Them bridges. Yeah, I like the way they hang off him. Look at, he look nice to that. You're mocking the people. No. I'll tell you the truth. What's up, son? No, not what's up with no son of mine, boy. Act like a man. No, if I had a son, he's just going to be that. No, I know that he's equal with his daddy. He's a man just like his daddy. He can make babies just like his daddy. He's still a daddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And anytime he loses that, he's not even a man. Because scripture tells him to honor. That's what he says, honor. Thou art and I am. Honor. For your days to be long. When they forget that, then they ain't worth a piece of dog poop. That's what he means. Yahweh means what he said. You pacify them and they still produce nothing but a bunch of hog bush. Watch my natural mother do that. Watch it with her children. Well, he ain't that bad. He's a mess, woman. Well, the Lord will forgive him. He's forgiven nothing. Even your Lord ain't forgiven him. Because they would get upset with me when I talk like that, but it didn't make me any different. I've never had family members or friends like that that love me, so it doesn't bother me if you don't love me. I can give a nickel's worth of donkey's dung. I will not lose one ounce of sleep. Why? Because he loves me. Oh, how Yah loves me. Oh, how Yah loves me. Oh, how Yahweh cares for me. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. He loves me. And I know that. You don't love me. If no one else loves me, I know Sister Robert loves me. She just has to. You know, she can't do any worse than to love me. Hallelujah. So it doesn't make me any different. I won't compromise, brothers and sisters. And I will speak to your sons, your daughters. It makes no difference at all. That's a proper way to do things. I say this in my closing as well. That's what's wrong with the young men that are the dark-skinned people. It's sad. And the young girls, because it's nothing that you can actually. That's why their lives are so chaotic as they get older. You can't tell them nothing. They dumb. And that is just a stereotypical image out there. You go to the cities like Detroit, go to Atlanta, you just see it everywhere. Because you see a vast population of that. And the ones that are bourgeois, they ain't touching them. They out in their enslaved conclaves. They're still caught up with a $3,000 house payment, $600 a month car payment. They're broke as Maggie Brown. All they got it on. They ain't got a nickel in their pocket. Broke. Hallelujah. They have nothing. I'm telling you. They're not even living from paycheck to paycheck. They're living from their hallelujah Jesus to the next one. They can't even live that way. I'm just telling you the truth. And then you got the girls in the city that, you know, babies out of both draw legs. The daddy's punking their boys and making them punks. Think it's all right to be cool and to be fly daddy, pimp daddy. Making them less than a human being, less than a young man. A man has character. I would have a simple son that loves Yah and to care for the things Yah than to have a bodacious jackass of a boy that think he's cool daddy, pimp daddy. Feeding him with ham and all that damnable trash. 50 Cent. Feed his young with that trash and his daughter become a little a floozy Jezebel just like 50 Cent says what she is. That's what she listens to because that's what she is. He's saying to hoes, all right? 50 Cent saying to the dogs. He's saying to the jackass and the punks. That's what he is. Oh, they give these mythical lies in their lives and the people about that. I'm a pimp daddy hustling. Ain't nothing but a bunch of young punks. Knock them out. Nothing to them. And yet the people buy that. And you buy that for your children. It's wrong. You're selling them to hell. And you think you're a good parent. You're a piece of trash. Piece of hog trash too. Hog bush. I don't take it back. When fella came to Atlanta, he gonna call himself, challenge me, because you don't talk about the Hebrew. You're like, man, you don't even. Can I show you this before I close, brother? Says there's a man called me. He used to listen to me years ago on the radio. Now this man preached in the name of Jesus. His name is Pastor Stewart. He's a white man, white, Caucasian. He called me. He said, Pastor Robert, you know who this is? He calls me often. He said, you know who this is? I said, this is Pastor Stewart. He said, yes. Now, all the people, listen to me, brothers and sisters, all the people that he deals with, that fellowship with him, they're not white people. They're just colored people. He got a place in Philadelphia. He got a place in Florida. He got a place in California. He got a place in Strand, Pennsylvania. Now, let me show you something. He said, Pastor Roberts, he has two airplanes. He wants me to come. He said, tell me which way you want to come. You want to come to Florida? Please come. Now, this man, he knows what I preach. But this man has a mission. He said, Pastor Robert, we feed thousands a day in Haiti. Now, what are the Hebrew Israelites doing that? We feed thousands a day in Haiti, Pastor. He said, I go once a month now. He said, one of the engines, I was coming back from Haiti, and one of the engines went out. I said, whoa, Pastor Stewart. Because I'm not, yes, we'll see. He wants me to go to Haiti with him. He says, we have an orphan there, Pastor Robert. They're coming of age. He said, I spend $1 million a year. Every year I spend it there. And his business that he has for the people, it is just for one purpose. To strengthen those people in Haiti. He said, you know, Pastor Robert, they will let people come from everywhere, but they will not let the Haitians come. It makes me so angry. They will not let them come here. Let the Mexicans, they let them come from all over. But the Haitians, he said, they will not. He said, Pastor Robert, so wonderful just to hear you. I just thinking about you. I say, Pastor Stewart, I said, I talked about you in the Atlanta meeting. Y'all remember me talking about him? I said, I was thinking about you this week. He said, oh, you were, Pastor Robert. I said, sure I was. Now, this man, his skin is a Caucasian color skin man. But he does all of this every year. He spends $1 million every year. He say $1 million every year. Every year. And the people that in that little group with him, he takes care of them. They own a city block in Philadelphia. He said, where do you want to come? You want to come to Philly? He said, we got a place here in Fort Lauderdale. It's 5 acres. I said, I don't know if I want to go to Fort Lauderdale. You know, really. I said, we'll see, Pastor. I'll stay in touch with you. I'm going to come. He said, well, come this weekend. Well, I ain't a part of that Christmas stuff now. They're having a big meeting up there. They're going to have 8 services. And, I said, well, we'll see. We'll come. We'll come. And yet those that call themselves Hebrew Israelites of the dark skin, they will not lift one bone finger. They won't. Or they will debate doctrine. They will do this. They will do that. And they will wear their Hebrew clothes, what they think they're wearing, and all of this, and their galon there, and their locks. Chapter didn't even have a 7 locks. You know, they had all the little locks and all of that, and they're just a bunch of dummies. I hope that one in Atlanta, he goes outside often because he knew I would. I hope he hear this today. Hallelujah. They're dumb, and I don't take it back. Hallelujah. And I won't apologize for anything. This is a generation that if Noah, Daniel, and Eeyore were in it, they would only save themselves by their own righteousness. Mama, save yourself. Daddy, save yourself. Son, save yourself. You can only save yourself by the Sadiq of Yah, the righteous power of his Torah in you. That's the only way you're going to save yourself. It has to be a living truth. It is. America's going down the wash. She's going to fall like a Jezebel. That's what she's going to fall like. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Period. Period. Do you want to be my friend, Pastor Robert? Well, I show myself friendly whether you're my friend or not. It's all right by me. I have no problem with that. None. I see often that my wife gets upset with me, so if you get upset, that ain't no big deal. None whatsoever. You better say you're tough, man. I'm tough when it comes to that. Hallelujah. I don't allow my emotions to captivate me. That's the truth. I don't allow them to bow me. Emotions will bind you, won't they? Well, you know, nah. I'm above that fray. Come on, Brother Patrick. May Yah bless you. All you that are listening, wherever you're listening, may the strength of Yah bless you. And we need to train ourselves to hear. Can I say this, brothers and sisters? It's so sad.
Because as I look at the people in this nation, especially the skin complexion, the darker they get, it is so pitiful, brothers and sisters. Their conditions, their attitude. You can't say nothing. You can't teach them anything. They're unteachable. They don't want to learn. And what the world does, it uses them as pawns of manipulation. They fill their hands with credit cards. And put them in the cars and they rape them and cause them to become just slaves beyond slavery. I was in a place one day, I asked him, how much you want for this truck if I pay cash for it? He said, no, sir, you can't pay cash for it. I said, that's the price on it. He said, $6,500. What would you take if I give you cash money? No, sir. Now, he was a Mexican. Now, only people that go to that car lot are Mexican. He said, no, we don't want that. No cash. He said, we want you to finance it so we can charge you 23% interest. That's what I said. And I looked at this man. What kind of spirit he has, even do the Mexicans like that? People just, you know, they don't make a lot of money. They just come here and work hard. They ain't making no $20 an hour. They live 10 or 12 in a house. That's how they do it. Come on, if a man steals because he's hungry, then you don't condemn the man. If he's caught, he repays what he's done. So if they catch him, send him back. But if a man's working to feed his house, you can't condemn him. You cannot. And I looked at this man. You're going to charge them 23%. The brothers and sisters, you don't understand. That's not even... Even the mafia didn't do that. The mafia sons, come on. They're worse than the mafia. These folks are worse than the mafia. And you're going to sell that car to him for 23% interest. Oh, no, we want you to have bad credit. We don't want you to have good credit here. I said, man, if I pay cash for the truck, will you sell it to me? He said, no, we'll not do that. You got to buy it on time. They raise up a generation for the filthy rich to become richer and to enslave the people. You can't tell this generation that, though. And what they do, they put a little tidbits out there and keep little icons before you actually think. They put a 50 cents out there, and they're going to take the thuggery of the thuggeries. Been shot 10, 12 times and bulletproof vest on. They put the makeup on him and trim his little beard up and put him in a Lamborghini and wearing a Cartier watch, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 watch. And of course, that's all we see, the little shiny stuff he got on. Oh, look at him. Oh, 50 cents. Oh, 50. Now, he was just a thug walking the street a few years ago. But that's what they do because they know the mentality. They have trained this generation well. They know it doesn't take much because it's a stupid generation. Then they send them off to what we call the schools of learning. They amplify it even greater. And guys in college be hoes. Yes, they do. Most of them, 99% of them. If you find a little girl in there that's not doing what all of them doing, she is a segregated type little woman, segregated from women. They're going to be hoes. As I said, that's before, the only reason they bring women to the military really is because of the lust of men. I watched that prison house down there. They got all these women working down there. You can tell they ain't got much in them because they certainly weren't no attractive women. No, they were not. They looked a mess, all of them. 99% of them look a mess. I watched them all come and I said, man. Well, at least they... Yeah, they did. I watched the shift changing. Well, they look a mess. I mean, they just... And of course, because they're women, they run all in prison. You got 1,600 men, so they, you know, that's what they, you know, the boy just, what's up? Woo! Look at that! She'll give them a little bit of sense of confidence, you know, because they look a mess. Why would you put a woman in a position like that, a man in prison? He's seeing something like that. And then you find them trying to find a little way, a little crack in the corner, one of them mates. The system knows what it's doing. That's why it trains this generation. That's why our children today, the schools are a dismal mess. They know nothing. Bunch of dummies, dumb nincompoops. They are dumb. They are dumb today. They are flat out dumb. Flat out dumb. Flat out dumb. And the ones that are coming to this country from India and different countries, they don't want their children in school with your children. They're starting their own little school. They don't want them in there because they know the influence of your children. They don't want them in there. I'm just telling you. They don't want them in there. They don't even want to be associated with your children. They don't. Period. Because your attitude, the way you act. See, those children in those schools, those kids come from India. They want to make sure that they please the parents. They do. They do, brother. They got a culture there. They're killing babies by the millions there in India because they want a boy. They don't want a girl. They want a boy. And still not in those boys. You got to take care of the family. Mom and daddy, you got to take care of them. They want boys. I was just listening the other day to this. This is like a genotype of alteration, altering, whatever you want. Now, all the people that are coming for this are like from Vietnam. I tell you what, the chromosomes in your children, you can add or take out. You say, I want my son I want him to be a little taller than us. We're short people. I want him to have a little height. They add the chromosome. I'm telling you, they do that. I want him to have an athletic body, you know, kind of, you know, muscular. So they add certain chromosomes they take. They're doing that all day, brother. They define the order of Yah. Well, I want my little girl. I want her. And the people that want girls are the ones in America. 60% of the Americans want girls, but the ones that farm, they want boys. They don't want no girls. They want boys. I want him to, well, we're 5 foot each. We don't want him to be, well, I want him to be six at least. And they're doing that. They call it, and it's millions of dollars they're spending doing that. It's baby shopping. Changing the chromosomes, the DNA, they're doing it, brothers. They define you. And that's where this generation, so what the wicked is doing, he's doing it with the minds of the people. Yeah, he's changing your chromosomes, your XY chromosome. This generation X right here, one before now is generation Y, huh? She's X him out. Hallelujah. May Yah bless you. Be encouraged. Let us stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Bless you all that are listening. Come on, Brother Pat. We're going to sing our song.
So let there be love shed among us. Let there be love in our lives. May now your house, sweetest house, cause us Yahweh.
Grab your neighbor's hand.
So let there be love shed.
We greet you all wherever you're listening. Brother James here in New York. May Yah bless you, Brother Jerry, Sister Maria, in Dallas, Texas. May Yahweh bless you all this day. Brother Michael, Sister Michael, with Alex there in Ohio. You that are listening there in Shreveport, Louisiana, wherever you're listening, we bless you today. Our brother McDowell there in Kansas, shalom to you and all that are listening. May Yah fill your heart today with this perfect truth that you love him above all things, that you may bless him. Keep your minds on the few things of Yah. Come on, look in your neighbor's eyes and sing that.
So let there be your heart shed among us. Let there be your heart in our lives. May now your heart sweet this house. Cause us Yahweh. Understanding a brotherly love that is real. So let there be a harvest shared among us. Let there be a harvest.
One more.
more time. Come on.
So let there be love shed among us. Let there be love in our hearts. Lay now your hand on sweet desires. Cause us your way to arise. Give us a fresh understanding above the beyond that is real, so that there be a heart shed among us. Let there be a heart.
For your heart is great unto us, O Yah. We bless you today for all things, our friends, our listeners, those that we do not know that are listening. Just bless them today. Cause their love to delight in your truth. Help us to realize that this atonement for our sins, Yeshua, is the price, the kafah, that you have paid for Israel. And Israel shall be saved. So we bless you today. Take us all home safely. Deliver your people, I pray, from these pagan traditions and actions. We total you for this day. We are so strengthened in Yahshua's mighty name. And Yeshua said, hallelujah, hallelujah.